Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in. Happy to have you listening today, and a very happy Friday to you. Well, all this week, we've been walking through the content of my book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith. We've also been playing clips from the companion DVD, Your Powerful Prayers. Well, today we'll be tackling the final session, and that's this, How to Pray with eternity in mind. How to pray with eternity in mind. I mean, when we do that, we pull ourselves out of the small story and we see ourselves in the bigger story. I'm so very grateful to Bethany House for supplying us with a case of books so we can give stacks away each and every day. If you find yourself resonating with this content, do email me if you want in on the drawing. Don't forget your mailing address, susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll get to that final session in just a moment, but want you to know that we have an app that if you're traveling and you want to listen to us live from anywhere, you can download the Faith Radio app. It's available in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Also want to shout out to friends listening in on one of our new signals. We are growing by leaps and bounds. We're so grateful to God and grateful to you. But if you're brand new to the family, maybe listening in on 1290 AM Hartford or 94.1 FM in West Hartford, we are so glad to be part of your family. Welcome to ours as well. And that goes for you in 93.1 FM in Waterloo, 104.7 FM in Madison, and 90.7 FM in the Twin Cities. We thank God that we get to do this journey together. Really, really pray that you find encouragement here each and every day. Now let's begin our final session of Your Powerful Prayers. I told this story about when my hubby was a workaholic. There were two significant prayers, actually, as a young mom that are still bearing fruit today. One of them was that one where my hubby, bless his sweetheart, was working three jobs because he had to because of our medical debt. But then when the crisis settled down, he didn't slow down. It was really affecting our marriage and our home life. I went to the mat. I went before the Lord and just said, in your word, it says, if I pray your will, I can know that I'll have that very thing I'm asking for. Well, I know it's not your will that he work like this, that we have more of him. Long story short, if you want to hear that miraculous story, I was on my face before God morning, afternoon, and night for months. And eventually God opened a door to a company that really just fits my hubby. He's been there for 15 years, and it's bore amazing fruit. Well, another one of my audacious prayers was, I came into marriage with a very active walk of faith. Well, then we had three little ones right away, throwing a disease in there and all kinds of medical debt. And my life was turned upside down and my prayer life was diminished to 5 to 10 minutes here and there. And I just, it bummed me out so bad because I love my time with the Lord. Well, I finally decided to look at my prayer life as a tithe of the time. And I brought before the Lord that promise again. Lord, I know that if I pray your will, I know I'll have the very thing you promised, right? If I'm praying your will, I can know that I'll have the very thing I'm asking. And I know it's your will that you have time with me, that I have time with you. So I'm going to give you this pathetic 10 little minutes as a tithe of the time. And I'm going to trust that you're going to multiply it. I have three little kids, but I don't want to be someone who waits till they go to school full time before I can have a valuable extended time with you. But you say it's possible to make streams in the desert. That's contrary to nature. Well, having a quiet time with three little kids is contrary to nature. But nothing's impossible with you. So let's do this. And I would bring in my 5 and my 10 minutes. And over time, I'm telling you, the kids would play longer or they'd nap longer. But God created a stream in the desert and allowed for time to be with him. All these years later, that time in the morning is the richest time of my life. And I guard it. I guard it with my life, and it's just gained momentum over the years. Now, also, my hubby's job, he's done well with it, but what's allowed him to do is we minister together as we travel to conferences on weekends, and it's just amazing. Well, here's a clip I'm about to play now from my DVD, Your Powerful Prayers, of how these two prayers that I really didn't ever see them converging together to make a difference, but they were such... I was holding to the promise without wavering because he who promised is faithful. So not only did these each bear fruit in their own way, but they sort of converged and started to bear fruit in a whole different way. I want to remind you again, this is a clip. I'll be playing several clips from the DVD, Your Powerful Prayers. And I want you to email me if you want in on the drawing, because four of you are going to get not only the book, but the DVD as well. Susie at myfaithradio.com. And don't forget your mailing address. And let's listen to the fruit that came out of the prayer life. This is Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18 in the Message paraphrase. And that about wraps it up. God is strong, and he wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. I've written a couple of books on a time once Kev and I kind of got our groove back and we started to work hard at church. We were running parallel paths and we hit this wall of burnout that about killed us, right? And this is about, I don't know, 15, 17 years ago. And we had to reestablish some boundaries and purposes. I really talk about it in my book, You're Sacred, Yes. In that place where we realized we have our limits and we can't just run hard and not risk running into a wall, burning out, and even breaking down our relationship. So back then we thought, what are some must-haves? What are some core convictions we got to hold to? And I'd already had an established prayer time, and so did he, but they were separate. We decided to come together and let prayer be one of those non-negotiables for us. So every single morning, every single day, I get up and I sit at this little table and I've got my Bibles, my journals, my commentary, my coffee. He sits on the couch with our pit bull and he's got his own iPad and Bible and we do our own thing, but then we come together. Now, granted, I will tell you our kids are grown and we're in a different stage of life, but we were actually doing this when they were in middle school and high school as well, where we would come together and we would start to pray. Something happened in that place. Our hearts start to beat in rhythm with each other and with God. In fact, I don't know how a marriage makes it without praying every single day. As we came together, we started to see a multiplication on every one of our offerings, whether it was a financial offering, a service offering, because we added faith to our deeds. We would come together and say, Lord, we have an idea of what we're supposed to go on today, but you're the one who determines our steps. Interrupt us, correct us, redirect us, show us what you want to do in and through us. And as our prayer life and Kev's work life intersected in that place of intimacy in marriage, God has given us impossible dreams and shown us impossible things he's wanted to do from that abiding place. Here's an example. In our prayer time every day, as we start to get an appetite for the impossible, we began this tradition on our wedding anniversary. When we go away, we take some time and we lean in and we cup our ear towards heaven and we say, okay, God, what audacious thing do you want to do next? What impossible thing do you want to do in and through us? And he may say, I want you to give a large amount of money to this ministry. I want you to go and serve in this way, or I want you to sell this and give this. And those times are exciting and scary, because I always say faith tends to bring on a little nausea at times, because there's times where God asks you to do something that's above and beyond all you could dare to ask. Well, this particular time was our 30th wedding anniversary. And we leaned in and we waited on the Lord. And we very, very much felt like God was saying, I want you to do something great in a third world country. I want you to help a community get on its feet again. We knew it. And we really felt like God was saying, do it with diligence and with wisdom so that you're empowering the people to have a livelihood and to care for their people. And within 2 weeks of our anniversary trip, we received a call, an invitation from a friend to go to Rwanda. My health still wasn't that great at that point, and I didn't have the time off of work. But even though Kev was in the middle of a huge, huge bid, he said, I have to go. And I knew he had to go. It was a 2-week trip. So he went to Rwanda. And we went to Rwanda, because when you're married,
when one does something, the other doesn't. And I was home praying every single day. He was there serving, and God did amazing things. He got to minister to children. He got to pray with church leaders. He got to listen to city leaders. He got to invest in a way that changed the landscape of a community in Rwanda. To this day, he's still texting and mentoring some of these young men, and we're helping however, whenever we can. Well, the amazing thing now is what we have in the works right now is our oldest son, our firstborn, Jake. He's planning a trip with his dad, and they're going to Rwanda together. And Jake is so excited about this trip. And they've already gotten their meetings going. They're talking about the vision of what the plan is for this trip. And I sat back one dinner time when we were talking about the trip, and I thought, wow, our fruit is bearing fruit. And this is the wonder of praying with eternity in mind, of taking yourself out of the small story, inserting yourself in the bigger story. Because God's will for you is not only your best case scenario, it will move all of the kingdom purposes forward.
We're going to pause here and take a break. Would love to hear from you. We've got 4 copies of Your Powerful Prayers and the companion DVD. It's a $45 value. Super excited to get those into your hands. And I'm praying exactly the right people will receive them. So email me if you want in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address. If you've got a question or comment, I'd love to have that as well. Sharon, Sarah, TJ, Carrie, Debbie, Mary, so good to hear from you. Keep the emails coming. We'll have more conversation about how to dare to dream and expect to persevere when we come back. Hope you're having a great day today. I'm so glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and we are on week 6 walking through the content of my book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith. Thanks to my publisher and to my dear husband, who doesn't know we've given this gift yet. 4 of you are going to get a copy of the book and the DVD, a $45 value. Just email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. I'm drawing from some of the content from the DVD and from the book. In this particular chapter, I hope I can get through this story without breaking down, because I literally cried my eyes out while I was writing this chapter. But this is chapter 11, Dare to Knock with Confidence. First, I just quote from Bo Stern, just from her book, The God Who Fights for You. She writes, "Your sin has not disqualified you from seeking his help in the heat of the battle. When you feel surrounded by accusers with rocks in hand, you can be certain that God is not one of them. Our good, compassionate God lavishes mercy instead of anger on all who ask. Isn't that just the best news ever?" Love that. Matthew 7:7-8 says this, "Keep on asking, and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you'll find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." I'm just going to read to you from the chapter. "The other day, my son Jake called and asked me a question that was an unusual one for him. I hopped off the treadmill, sat down on the edge, and leaned in to listen to what pressed on the heart of my boy that day. 'Mom, you know how I got my road bike back from Luke recently so I could sell it to buy drums? Well, I took it out for a ride today, and I had an experience of God unlike I'd had in a very long time. I felt a strong sense of God's presence and even his joy. I know that sounds crazy, but it made me second guess if I should sell this bike, you know? You and Dad bought it for me at a significant turning point in my life, and I love it for so many reasons. But I'm feeling called to get back into drumming, especially on a worship team. And it's not financially responsible to hang on to the bike and to buy the drums, even if I can afford it, is it?" This from a son who refused any financial help when he first graduated from college and moved to Nashville, where he lived on a $10 per hour job and a garden he planted in the backyard of a rental house where he lived. We knew he struggled financially, but the few times we offered help, he said, "Nope, I've got this. I want to do this." And we respected him greatly for his conviction and his tenacity. Jake continued, "I'll need the drums when I eventually play on a worship team, whereas the bike, well, it's just for my pleasure. I'd feel guilty having both, but there's something about this bike that's so tied to my heart and my history. I normally don't ask questions like this. I just do what I had to do. But for some reason, I felt the need to run this one by you and hear your thoughts." Well, I said, "Son, I love that you're wrestling with this question, especially given the materialistic entitlement society that we're immersed in. But in this particular case, I wonder, might God want you to have both the bike and the drums? And are the drums more spiritual than the bike? I mean, for me, when I exercise, I so sense God's presence and his goodness to me. And the longer I walk with him, the less I tend to compartmentalize my spiritual life, you know? He's with me in all things, and every good gift comes from his hand. Well, Jake and I went back and forth and processed why this notion seemed so difficult for him to swallow. Something about it tied him up. He couldn't bring himself to accept that such an extravagant gift might actually be God's idea, not his. So I asked one probing question after another and reflected on certain memories that had shaped his thinking over the years. We revisited this experience from his teenage years, and though he was really a compliant kid, one particular day, he took the bait from his prodding friends, and he used my Chevy Blazer to do donuts in a parking lot that was freshly covered with snow. Long story short, he pulled into a parking lot, he spun around, and he hit a concrete structure, what caused about $3,000 worth of damage to my truck. When we sat down as a family, we processed what happened. Jake's little brothers asked him questions, and he humbly answered them, every single one. And Kevin looked at Jake with that fatherly strength, and he said something to this effect. Son, you've just taken a huge withdrawal from the trust account, so to speak, and we have to deal with the consequences of that costly choice. However, I want you to know something. Your trust account is not empty. We love you. We still trust you and totally respect you because you are a trustworthy son. I sat on the edge of my treadmill, and I held the phone close to my ear. I said, Jake, this is where it gets hard. Do you remember what you were doing when Dad said those words to you? He whispered, no, I don't. I continued, you gripped the arms of the chair, and you looked down at your feet. You couldn't even look up at him. Jake went silent on the other end. Honey, are you there? His voice cracked, and he whispered, Mom, I always knew you and Dad handled that incident brilliantly, but I couldn't exactly remember how it all played out that day. Something got in me when I made that choice that so defied the things I care about. Loved and respected both you and Dad so much. I couldn't imagine that I would ever do what I did. And my own choice cut me so deep that I'd never really been able to get past it. In fact, I had no idea that my posture was so shut down that day when Dad spoke to me. I faintly remember his words now, but they sure didn't go back in then. That's shame, son. That's what got in you that day. It's shame. And though you're a man of integrity and you've never wanted our financial help in your young adult years, I wonder if mixed in with that nobility of yours is a stronghold of shame that won't allow you to receive help. Could it be that underneath your strong work ethic is a heart that doesn't actually believe that your parents or your heavenly father, for that matter, might want to lavish a goodness on you that goes beyond your efforts or even beyond what you think you deserve? My voice cracked as I asked such probing questions. Again, more silence from Jake. Then my big husky firstborn started to cry. I sucked in a sob and I said, oh, honey, can I just tell you, I love you so much. And that shame, it's not from God and it's not from us. We both struggled to find our words. He then asked me, he said, Mom, is this what has held me back all these years? Is this why it's difficult for me to receive out of the ordinary gifts and why I don't ask for your help or even God's help because of shame? As I thought back to Jake's wanderings through his college and young adult years, I couldn't help but wonder if shame had a self-perpetuating nature, one that repeatedly seduces then accuses, finds you weak and wandering only to seduce and accuse you again until you're caught in a cycle that pulls you farther from grace, not towards it. Was it shame that baited Jake away from the Father's heart and kept him away for the past several years? Jake waited for me to answer his question. Is this what's held me back all these years? I think so, honey, I said. I'd have given anything to hug him at that moment. But imagine how delightful your relationship could be with God if you could learn to approach him and even pursue him with assurance and confidence because you're convinced that he is good and that he has set his affections upon you. I'd say right now you're missing the best parts of this relationship with him. But what joy for you to discover an unhindered, joy-filled relationship with your Father who loves you and loves to lavish his goodness upon you. Doing so will affect every aspect of your life, your work, your play, your bike riding, your morning coffee with your wife. Joy and confidence are accessible, even in the midst of the battles you faced. Not just in those moments when you're doing something spiritual, quote unquote, like drumming on a worship team. You know, sometimes we can easily spot his gifts and his grace. Other times, not so much. But how often does shame keep us from audaciously running into the arms of our Father, not only to receive the grace that we need just after we've blown it, but to dare to ask for things we could never earn, deserve, or acquire on our own. After my conversation with Jake, I wondered if shame was just a negative emotion and a skewed mindset, or if it was an actual parasitic force that drains life, takes life and keeps us from the life God always intended for us. So I asked God to teach me more about shame. A couple of days later, a friend handed me a book out of the blue, and its title, The Soul of Shame. This is what they say. Shame's not just a consequence of something our first parents did in the Garden of Eden. It's an emotional weapon that the enemy uses to corrupt our relationship with God and with each other, to disintegrate any and all gifts of vocational vision and creativity. These gifts include any area of endeavor that promote goodness, beauty, and joy in and for our lives and the lives of others, whether it be teaching our first graders, loving our spouse well, managing forests, conducting healing prayer services, creating a new medical technology, offering psychotherapy, or composing symphonies. Listen, shame is a primary means to prevent us from using the gifts we've been given. And those gifts enable us to flourish as light bearers of a community of followers of Christ. Shame, therefore, is not simply an unfortunate random emotional event that came about out of this primordial evolutionary soup. It's both a source and a result of evil's active assault on God's creation and a way for evil to try to hold out until the new heavens and earth appear at the consummation of history. That's pretty heady, but it's deep. That's the end of the quote. So here's the rest of what I had to say. If shame keeps us from the best of what God has for us, shouldn't we be more earnest about calling it what it is so we can shun the shame of our youth and then become who God always intended us to be and receive all he's promised us? Consider what's true about some of the mindsets we often embrace without even thinking about it. It's not humility that compels us to shy away from God and ask little from him. It's shame. It's not integrity that keeps us from asking for God's help when we need it. It's pride, it's independence, and it's shame. It's not noble to go without something that God's promised to provide. It's an orphan mentality rooted in shame. It's not justice that keeps us far from God after we've blown it. It's shame. And it's not kindness that keeps us from bothering God with our persistent requests. It's either spiritual laziness or it's shame. How often does shame keep us from the kind of audacity in prayer and pursuit of fellowship with Jesus that he invites us to? We don't have to try to convince God to be good to us. In fact, he's the one who's trying to convince us to receive his goodness and to walk in his love. Maybe this story is resonating with you, and I just want to tell you good news, that God loves you, and those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. He has covered your sins, past, present, and future. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You can come boldly into his presence, audaciously knock and ask for things you could never earn or deserve. I dare you. Dream with God. Ask him for a life totally disproportionate to yours. Ask him to do miracles and wonders in and through you. Dare to ask. And as you persevere in prayer, you'll be changed in the process. And when you start to see the answers, you will develop an appetite for the impossible. I'm taking emails. I want to know if you want a copy of the book and the DVD. Email me if you want in the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name and mailing address. And we'll be back in a moment. Jesus. Isn't he good? I just had to say that. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We are on week six, walking through the content of my book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith. This is our final session. We're walking through clips from the DVD and the chapters of the book. We've got four copies of the book DVD combo to give away today. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. If you just tuned in, we've been talking about shame and how shame so keeps us from boldly running before the throne of grace and knowing that we've got a Father who's glad to see us. I'm reading excerpts from the book and we're taking clips from the DVD, but I just want to continue for a moment on this issue of shame. Here's from the book, chapter 11. I used to think of being shameless in only negative terms, someone with no social awareness or sense of common decorum, someone with no fear of God and no concern for others. And while that alarming aspect of our culture is growing by leaps and bounds, shameless also has positive attributes: unconcealed, undisguised, transparent, unashamed. Jesus invites us into his presence without shame. without our past baggage, without the need to cover ourselves or to be someone we're not, without the enemy's constant taunts in our ear telling us we're not enough, and even without the self-deprecating slurs we constantly hurl at ourselves, he wants us in his presence, full and free, healed and whole, expectant and full of faith. Jesus wants to heal us deeply so we'll more readily believe that he loves us completely. I'm going to say that again. This is for you today. Jesus wants to heal you deeply so you'll more readily believe that he loves you completely. And when we start to grasp how secure we are in him, we'll be more apt to pray and believe from that sturdy place. We'll learn to trust his promises. We'll learn to rely on his goodness. We'll learn to rest in his unchanging grace. The less shame has its hold on us, the more bravely and boldly we'll dare to pray. Of course, this doesn't mean we ever dictate to God, but it does mean we get to have constant and continual conversations with God, the God of the universe. And our appeal means so much to him that he moves and answers in a way that's completely and totally disproportionate to who we are or to what we could ever dream to accomplish on our own. So let us, therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace, excited, assured, expectant, and full of joy. We belong to a sovereign, good, kind, powerful, and loving Father who doesn't treat us as our sinfulness warrants. He loves us with a power and a grace that changes us from orphans to heirs. May we finally live and believe and pray and breathe like it's true, because it is. I'm going to play a clip from the DVD where I'm talking about this 5 minutes of fame culture that we live in. And the reason I want to play this is because we live in a culture that is looking for its 5 minutes of fame. You know what that's coming out of? It's shame. It's insecurity. There's such canyons of insecurity and self-loathing in the hearts of so many that people think if I can get people to notice me, that will fill the hole. But it won't. Only Jesus does. And as we come into his presence, we're transformed from the inside out. Let's listen in.
John 15 talks about where Jesus says, "It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." I want you to picture Jesus grabbing you by the shoulders, looking in your eye, saying your name, saying, "I want you to bear fruit, fruit that lasts." And fruit comes from abiding in me, staying in step with me, just doing the next thing that I tell you to. If you abide in me, if you trust me, if you live like my promises are true, you will see, you will do, you will experience above and beyond your wildest dreams. You know, that's so different than the striving, straining 5 minutes of fame culture that we live in. All you have to do is turn on the TV, flip open your computer to see. Everybody wants their 5 minutes of fame, even if it costs them their dignity. It's like, as the Bible says, our shame is our glory. You look at the reality shows, you look at the YouTube channels. It's so unnerving and disheartening to see where the culture has gone. But it's also infiltrated, I think, Christianity in America. I love this nation. I pray for this nation every single day. But we've Americanized some of our Christianity in a way that isn't exactly biblical. Maybe you see this, maybe you don't. But being in the line of work that I am, I have lots and lots of young women approach me who say to me, "I want to be the next Beth Moore. I want to be up on the stage." And I will tell you what I tell them. Be much with God. Do the next thing he says. Give him access to your character and your inconsistencies. Let the storms refine you into his image. And if you deepen your roots, he will broaden your impact. Let me tell you, 9 out of 10 times, their eyes glaze over and they're like, yeah, I want to write a book. I want to get published. I want to be on the stage. It's like they're saying, I want the prize without the process. But 1 out of 10, her eyes will well up with tears. She'll lean in and she'll say, that's what he's been talking to me about too. And I can clearly see that it's God who's called her. And I will lean in and tell her, I can help you. I can help you. We are in a society where we're looking for the 5 minutes of glory and fame. And we're celebritizing Christianity even at times. That's not to say, I mean, I'm in this business. I do write and I work in radio. But we are not to be making celebrities out of Christians. I'm watching closely and reading stories of the persecuted church and the kind of courage it's taking for Muslims to come to Christ. And they're coming in droves. They are coming at record numbers right now. You know why? Because they're wondering behind the scenes, is what I believe true? And if there's even a tinge of faith and a question in their hearts, God shows up to them over and over again. We're reading stories and we're interviewing experts on this topic who are saying Muslims are seeing dreams of Jesus. They've never met him before, and yet they know it's him, and they come to Christ. But when they come to Christ, they're either immediately killed, they're ousted from their community, disowned by their family. The kind of courage it takes for them to say yes to Jesus, it's worth it to them because they see in a way that we don't always see. Life on earth is short, but eternity is long. They know this and they think, I'm living for eternity. It is worth it for me to forsake all that I could be much with Christ. If we can get a hold of that mindset and that perspective, I think even how we show up in our daily jobs would be different because we'd be doing it out of the abiding life. So whether you're a janitor or a teacher, a stay-at-home mom, a construction manager, a Bible study teacher, a children's minister, whatever it is a great and sacred place where God can and wants to do amazing things beyond your offering, beyond your efforts, because that's what it means to participate in the divine nature of Christ. Can you imagine it? If we start to think eternity and we start to tell ourselves daily, life on earth is short, but eternity is long. I'm living for the long haul. I'm praying with eternity in mind. And every step I take here ripples into how I live there. Suddenly everything changes because the fear of man starts to go away. We don't care what people think of us. Suddenly we're kind of content to be misunderstood because we're pilgrims, we're foreigners in a foreign land. We're on a journey to a most sacred place.
That's from my DVD, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith. We're drawing from the content from this last section. I'm super excited about this. I want so much to end strong. We're going to go right into another clip from the DVD just about the process of the abiding life, the internal transformation, and living with a bigger perspective in mind. Let's listen to this next clip.
Well, as I've thought a lot about this, this abiding life of praying big, audacious prayers with eternity in mind, but resting and relying on the grace of God because I have nothing to prove and all of eternity to live for, it's really changed how I've showed up in life. I'm at ease with myself. I don't have to be all things to all people. I don't need everybody to understand me. I know people assess me in different ways as they assess you in different ways. But I'm not subject to their opinions because Jesus has already decided what he thinks about me. And he's the one who gets to decide. And in that place, God is doing something amazing in my heart. Where I used to be so marked with fear, he's replacing that with faith. I want that for you. I want that for me. Not only because I want you to live free and reign as a representative of the Most High God, that is our call, but because your freedom and your eternal perspective will ripple out into your family, into your friends, and even how you treat strangers and how you treat people that you disagree with. I mean, look at what's happening even on social media today and how we're treating people who think differently than us. But isn't it Jesus who said they should know us by our love? That we would walk and talk as people who are loved by God so we can love others. That's what God wants for us. Well, I got to tell you a story of a young man who was a youth leader for my two oldest sons. And Kev said it so well. He says, once in a while you meet these youth workers and you don't even know the treasure that you have. Rick Levy is his name. And what a treasure, solid, amazing guy. And he just showed up in our kids' lives in youth group and pursued them and spoke into their lives and was just one of those solid presence. Well, my youngest son didn't get the chance to know him too well. But later on, when my son started to attend a church, Rick happened to be on staff there. And so Rick, again, with our third son now, is investing into Jordan, speaking into his life. And we're so grateful. And Rick's mom is a friend of mine. Well, not too long ago, I received a text that Rick, his wife Crystal, had taken their 8-year-old daughter on a mommy-daughter cruise trip. So they have 4 kids, ages 8 down to 10 months. And on this trip, they were on a cruise and they came to land and they took a bus and they were going to go do some tour excursion. Something happened and they were in a traffic accident and the tour bus, I think, flipped or rolled. And Crystal, the mom, was killed. Instantly is what they think. And little 8-year-old Caden was there in Jamaica trying to wake up her mom. I've asked them for permission to share this story, and I was going to tell it in a more generic way, but Rick even said in a text back to me, well, we want God to get the glory from this story, so go ahead and tell it. We were all so devastated because it seemed her life was cut off so short. This beautiful young mom with a 10-month-old baby, 4 children, loving, loving wife and mother. And she and her husband served valiantly at their church. She was the face that all the children who came into Sunday school, that was the first face they saw. And she would greet them and she would love them. Well, at her funeral, I want to say there were almost 3,000 people, I would guess, looked around. It was a sea of people. Not that I know, I don't think Crystal ever wrote a book. I don't think she ever built a tall building. I don't think she ever had her own TV show or a YouTube channel. But this is a woman who feared God. And the Bible says a woman who fears God is greatly to be praised. She feared God. She loved her husband. She loved her children. She loved her friends. She loved strangers. Everywhere you went, I mean, it was shoulder to shoulder people. And I heard story after story of people whose lives were impacted because this woman knew the secret of the abiding life. I walked away from that funeral because I'd been so disheartened and disenchanted a bit by the striving, straining, make a name for myself mentality that sort of infiltrated the church. And I had just been thinking about it, wondering, Lord, am I in the right place? Because this is such a foreign mindset. I go to Crystal's funeral and I walked away and I thought, I know what I want said of my life. I want to be found faithful, fruitful, and I want a really good funeral. That's my goal. Not to sell X amount of books, not to achieve this, not to achieve that, but I want to be known for knowing him. And I pray this for you as well. May we be found faithful. And when it's all said and done, may we be found faithful. May it be said of us that we bore fruit, fruit that outlived us, fruit that's so disproportionate to who we are, that people who knew us knew there was a God in heaven, because there's no way we could have accomplished what we did in our lifetime. May we have an amazing funeral. May people who gather together when we live and we pass from this life to the next have a consistent story, that they knew the same person, that we were the same person in private as we were in public, that we loved Jesus passionately, profoundly, we took him seriously, and we were comfortable in our own skin. Don't you want that? I want to be found faithful, fruitful, and I want a really, really good funeral. If we're known for anything, let's be known for knowing him. If we pray, let's pray prayers that echo God's heart so that we can see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray that we can live and breathe as ones who are spoken for, because we are. And he's with us every step of the way.
We're going to pause and take a break for one final segment. It's just good sometimes, isn't it, to remember to live with eternity in mind and that nothing, nothing is impossible with God. Don't go away, and don't forget to email me if you want in the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. The drawing is the book and the DVD together. DVD is $30, the book's about $15, so it's a nice $45 gift, and I'm praying you win. Susie@myfaithradio.com, and don't forget your mailing address. We'll be back in a minute. You're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I love hearing from you. Thanks for these emails coming in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and this is week six, our final week of walking through the content of my new book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith. For this last segment, we're just drawing clips from the DVD and excerpts from the book, and we've got a drawing going, so four of you get a copy of the book and the DVD combo together, so email me if you want in on that drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. But we're talking about daring to dream and expecting to persevere. And this is the thing, is when you dream with God and you dare to ask him for great things, that enemy will come right in, seduce and accuse you. He'll accuse you of past sins, of current frailties and weaknesses. And the temptation is to look down, is to go, you know, you're right, and to pull back in self-preservation. And yet Jesus invites us to come boldly into his presence. But the thing is, when you're asking for audacious things, you're changed in the process. God knew full well who he was getting when he got you. But when we ask him, call me up, Lord, call me out, we are changed in the process. We're refined and readied to steward the answer when it comes. So here's another excerpt from the book. There's no battle, no scheme, no attack of the enemy that can keep us from God's love, his presence, and his power. And our trials will always serve us and teach us and strengthen us in the end. And persevering prayer is not for the faint of heart. It's far easier to give up than it is to go forward. It's much easier to complain than it is to contend. Griping about our circumstances is natural. Grabbing hold of his promises that defy our circumstances, well, that's gritty and supernatural. Sometimes prayer feels like the most delightful, intimate fellowship with God, but other times it feels like we're fighting alone with hands bloodied from battle, and it's all we can do to hold on to what God has promised us. But given the times we're in, don't you think we need to learn to prevail in prayer? When it's delightful and when it feels like a bloody battle? When God is giving us what we want and when he calls us to pray and intercede for what he wants? Culture seems to be imploding all around us. Evil is on the rise. Selfish people are celebrated while reverent people are mocked. If we look too long at the stats or our circumstances, we can start to wonder if we're on the losing side. But remember, we win in the end. Yet even right now, the enemy baits us into one of two ditches. To shake our fist at the darkness and hate those who defy our God and all that we hold sacred, or to put our head in the sand and entertain ourselves to death so we don't have to face the challenging times in which we live. But both of these options, they may please our natural flesh tendency. They're slippery slopes, and they will pull us right into disobedience. God calls us to love our enemies and to pray for those who want to hurt us. But he also charges us to be focused and alert, prayerful and sober, discerning of the times so we'll know what to do. We're free to walk with Christ in a marginal way, but with huge consequences, of course, or in a purposeful, profound way. We're saved by grace, but we're invited to become spiritually agile, prayerfully powerful in a way that transforms us and that changes the world. But this process always calls for perseverance. Here's an important point for all of us to remember. Jesus offers us all of the resources of heaven, but he doesn't force us to lay hold of them. One day we'll see Jesus face to face and we'll realize that he meant it when he invited us to enjoy intimate fellowship with him day by day and moment by moment. His promises really were and are for us. In Christ, you have full and legal access to all the riches of the heavenly realm. You are invited to participate in the big story, the ultimate games, the kingdom showdown, not as a spectator or as a Monday morning quarterback, but as an heir, warrior, treasured child. Let's listen to this final clip before we wrap up and pray.
I want you to imagine with me, think eternity, step back from the smaller story of your life and start to pray big story prayers. Then imagine with me, let's go ahead and envision what might happen. I want you to imagine all of the prodigals that come home because of your prayers, all of the marriages restored because of your prayers, all the lost who are found because of your prayers, all the finances that are recovered and sown back into the kingdom because finances are restored because of your prayers, all the terrorist plots that are exposed and foiled because of your prayers, or the human trafficking victims and the slaves who are rescued and given a life again and have a song in their heart because you stood in the gap and you prayed. Imagine the leaders and the pastors who didn't quit the ministry because of your prayers. Imagine the orphans who are adopted because of your prayers, or the barren women who bear fruit and have children because of your prayers. Is it any wonder that that enemy baits us into a busyness that drains us to keep us from a prayer that can change the world and change somebody's story? May it be said of us that we were profound in faith and mighty in prayer. The final song or declaration that I want you to write from this study is a song of eternity. I want you to write down a dream and a vision for what you believe God wants to do. If the sky was the limit, can you dream with God and can you write it down? I'm just studying a little bit about the brain science behind envisioning the victory. And again, this isn't positive thinking, but something changes in our spirit when we move from rehearsing and rehashing disappointments and playing not to lose to suddenly playing to win and envisioning what the victory looks like. So let your song be one of eternity. Picture your offerings, picture your prayers, and then imagine in the best case scenario you can imagine, write down a song of eternity, how you want to see this play out in eternity. I'm imagining lines of people waiting to talk with you and thank you for your prayers, for your gifts, for your acts of kindness, because you dare to live with eternity in mind. Write your song of eternity and be brave and be bold. Here's a powerful word by Dr. Kenneth Ulmer. So walk on, child of God. You shall not go down. You shall not be defeated. You shall not be overtaken. God is with you. So walk on. He brings you through the water, through the river, and through the fire because He has a greater purpose for you on the other side. No matter what you face, God is going to get some glory. Whenever you experience tough times, the Spirit of the Living God will press the rewind button and His voice will remind you that you have His Word to walk you through anything. He created you, He redeemed you, He paid the price, and you are His. So walk on. I want to leave you with a blessing that I pray over my family almost every single day based on a few passages of Scripture. May you abound in love more and more. May you increase daily in all wisdom, knowledge, and depth of insight. May you understand the times and know what to do. May you be a high discerner of God's will and truth. May you bear the fruit of righteousness. May you walk purely and blamelessly before God. And may you always honor God in life and in death. It's been an honor to join you on this journey. I'll be praying for you in the days to come. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Pray this has been good for you. I want to read a blessing from the book and a prayer. Boy, I want us to live as ones who are spoken for, you know. I want us to live like His promises are true. There are storehouses in heaven that are untapped because we refuse to believe. We refuse to believe that His promises are true. So here's a blessing for you. May you look around and notice all the answers to prayer you enjoy because of prayers you prayed some time ago. And may the breakthroughs you've experienced and the open doors you've walked through compel you to pray with more fervency, specificity, and tenacity. God loves your faith. He loves your heart. He loves it when you pray. He's very protective of you and won't give you something that's not good for you. He makes you wait because He's making you ready. Trust your whole soul and story to Him. And keep praying. God continues to move in your life, even when you can't see it. One day your faith will become sight. A blessed and beautiful and prayerful night to you. And here's a prayer from the book. Precious Lord, I come to you today humbly aware of how much I miss because I doubt your love and goodness towards me. Heal me, Lord, in the deepest places of my soul. Heal me and make me whole so I can love deeply and believe profoundly in your promises. You are God Most High, and you delight in me. You put the stars in place and you care about me. Father, move everything out of my life that keeps me from knowing you in a way that changes me. Awaken fresh faith and persistence in me so I can come humbly and boldly before you. Blow your spirit wind in my sails so I will pray and not give up. So I will seek and not let up. So I will knock and not give up. When you look for faith on the earth, may you find it in me. In Jesus' matchless, mighty name I pray. Amen.
How do I say thank you for the life that you gave and the cross that you paid for the love you poured out to ransom
Wow, I pray today encouraged you. And if it did, be a radio missionary and send this one to a friend. Because, you know, so often we battle shame, we battle unbelief. But God calls us up to faith and to courage and to confidence. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And just a bit, the podcast will be up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, and I mean this for you. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.